Again, turn to Nehemiah chapter 6 as we go through our study. Now, as you know already, so far the devil has tried to use these tools to keep them from rebuilding the wall. He uses the same tools for us today, although we are not building a literal wall. We are building the kingdom of God through getting people saved. So, this was some that we already went over. He used ridicule. We're going to be laughed at, but we shouldn't back up or back down. Discouragement, he used that. We sometimes get tired in the work, but we certainly should never get tired of the work. It's there for us. He used bodily harm. Threats came, but they battled and built. They had a trowel in one hand and a sword or a spear in the other. And that didn't keep them from doing what God wanted them to do. The devil even uses money or debt or financial bondage to keep us down and from following God and God's money principles. That can interfere with how we serve the Lord too. The devil knows that. Now the project is almost done, as we can see. The wall was up, and all that remains, we read, all he has to do is put up the gates. And the devil is at his worst when he realizes time is about to run out. I don't know that he knows. I know he doesn't know when the Lord's coming back. But I know he's smarter than us, and he can figure out it might be soon, because even we can figure out from Bible prophecy it might be soon. But I'm not setting any dates. But I sure hope it's before I'm done with this message today. Wouldn't that be great? And we'd be taken out of here. That'd be wonderful. And he knows, too, his time is running out. And, of course, he is at his worst today. Many of the problems that we have in the leadership of this nation and in the leadership of other nations is because either a short time ago or a long time ago, they turned their backs on God in this book, and now they're running their show with what they call their religion, humanism. How are they making out? Not too good. Not too good. That's all right. God will take care of that too one of these days. So in chapter 6, the devil tries three more things. Now, we're just going to look at the first two today. I don't want to keep you here too long. I kept you a little longer than I should last week, but nobody got too upset about it. So the one first point I want you to look at here, this is one of the three, the tool of distraction. The tool of distraction. Verse 2, the enemy wants to talk to Nehemiah, or so they say. Maybe we can work some things out. Maybe we can have a compromise. Does that sound familiar with what goes on in politics lots of times, and even our Senate and the House of Representatives? Nehemiah knew they were not sincere. He knew that. He had dealt with them before. And when the devil can't defeat us as a roaring lion, he will try to approach us as a false angel of light. Even the Bible tells us that in the New Testament. Let's have a retreat together down in the valley. Let's cozy up around the fire. Let's talk about these things where we differ. Then he tries to distract the devil and his enemy by compromise. First, the devil tries to cozy up in order to devour us. But once we are saved, he fails at that, since we know the truth, or at least we should not fall for it. Next, he tries to neutralize us through entanglement with alliances. If you can't beat them, join them. That's what he tries to do. And then before too long, he tries to take over. In the past, there have been people, not a lot under my ministry of almost 20 years now, but in the past, under other ministers here, where people tried to come in and influence the pastor to go another path that was contrary to the Word of God. One pastor that was tried on actually started that wrong path, and the congregation had to remove him. Now, later on, before he passed away, he got that straightened out, that false path that he was traveling. But there has to be discernment. We have to be careful. And of course, the devil is very subtle, and so is his cohorts. Why the Valley of Ono? Now, we'll say more about that later, but why did they pick the Valley of Ono? Well, you don't have to turn to it, but if you want to, that's fine. But Nehemiah 11:35 mentions two valleys. One of them is Lod, and the other one is Ono. And Ono, they're both known for the Valley of Craftsmen. Well, what was Nehemiah? He was a great craftsman. And you know what? That could have tempted him. There was a reason for picking that place to invite him to, especially a tempting offer. Maybe he could have got some ideas or tools to help finish the wall or the gates. So that would have been a temptation. But it was not God's way to join the enemy for any reason. And it never is to join the enemy for any reason whatsoever. And we shouldn't go to the world for our ideas in building the local church. That's where men go astray. Sometimes a guy will get up. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I know some of them told me this. And some of them that told me this are no longer in the ministry, or they finally wised up. They look out over the congregation. Boy, there's just not enough. There's too many empty seats here, and we've got to do something to fill those seats. And somebody comes along and says, psst, buddy, come here. I got just the idea. You say, well, how do you know that? I get emails and invitations to help me to build this church and fill the pews all the time. And I don't even take the time to read it in most cases. All you have to do is read the first one and find out the way they want to do it is not God's way. I kiddingly said when I first came here, it was March the 10th, I came here, and a couple weeks after, I said, look, I said, if you're interested in filling this church up, and I was kidding, and they knew it, if you want me to fill this church, I can do it, but it won't be worth attending for worship. And they got the point. We do not have to take ideas from the world in order to fill the seats that we have here. If we fill this seats, it'll hopefully be because people get saved or people move from another area and they're looking for a good church and they join up here in order to continue to reach people in this area with the good news that Jesus saves. That's the reason they should come here. They shouldn't come because the preacher's young, because the preacher's old, because the preacher's good-looking, because the preacher's ugly. They should come here because they want to serve God and the Word of God is preached here. Amen? Amen. All right. So, we don't need nightclub entertainment to fill the church. You might fill it, but it won't be for the right reason. Now, listen to this one. Now, this one here, if I said this in certain around certain Baptist preachers, they might, pass out. Nor should our goal be just to have big attendance. You say, well, Pastor, don't you want to see this place filled? Oh, I'd like to see it filled when God fills it the right way. But our goal should not be just to have big attendance. Show me one place in the scripture where Jesus talked about the importance of attendance. If you go to the book of Revelation when he addressed the seven churches, he never once mentioned, oh, I'm so glad and I can see that you're running 5,000 this week and I commend you for that. That's not what he did. What he commended them for was for love, faith, patience, endurance, and on and on and on. Never once did he mention attendance. Never once. We should desire to grow, but for the right reasons. We want younger people to come in and older people. Why do we want the younger ones? To take the ball and move on and carry it forward so that we can even grow further until the Lord returns. Amen? We should desire growth, but not compromise in order to get it. Having a big crowd is not necessarily having a good, sound local church. Nehemiah saw right through the devil's attempt at distraction and compromise. You know, here's another reason. You know, I say God has a sense of humor, and I always say that with respect. He does. I think he might have even been involved with maybe whispering in their ear, and they didn't even know it. Why don't you pick that town of Ono? That way Nehemiah will understand that I already gave him the answer to your request. Oh, no. And that's exactly what Nehemiah said. Oh, no, I'm not going to Ono. God's a lot smarter than us, isn't he? He even plans some things we don't even expect, doesn't he? There it is. Yeah. Now, why did Nehemiah say no? We'll get into this outline now. Nehemiah said no because he had spiritual discernment. He had spiritual discernment. It would not be wise to join with the enemy and use the world's ways to water down the message. Never is that acceptable. The end of verse 2. Talk about spiritual discernment. They thought to do me mischief. How do you know that? Spiritual discernment. How do we know? How does a pastor know that certain things are not right? Well, that's because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that leads and guides us into all the truth after we receive Christ as our Savior. He gives us discernment. God left us not only the Holy Spirit, but the Word of God to lead us and guide us. Sometimes there's many gray areas that the Bible doesn't specifically say yes, no. Well, there has to be some spiritual discernment there too. Depends on the times in which we live also. I'll give you an example. And some of you would go on one side or the other on this, but I remember a pastor friend of mine, he took a group of pastors up to New York City to visit the Twin Towers, which are not there anymore, and what's that other one, Empire State Building, and they went up, and he had a favorite place that they would stop, because he was there many times, that they would go in and have a meal. Now, it just so happened in this place, they served liquor, but there was a separate area, just like there's a restaurant down in Hummelstown. You can go in and you can sit down and eat. You don't have to drink, and there's a bar off to the side. So he went in because they had good food, but one of the guys said, I'll just stay out here and wait for you. And the preacher said, well, what's the matter? Aren't you feeling well? No, he says, they serve liquor in there, and he says, I just have a personal conviction that I would rather not go to a place where they also serve liquor. You know what the pastor did? What's the matter with you? What's wrong with that? No, he didn't. He said, well, brother, I understand. And I understand how you feel. We're going to find another place. for us to go and to eat that doesn't serve liquor. You know what they did? They found one. And they were able to gather together, fellowship, and enjoy the meal that day. See what I'm saying? Okay, move on. We said about spiritual discernment. What they really wanted to do, and you found that out, they wanted to kill him. Huh. Well, I'm glad he didn't go, aren't you? Yeah. And the devil makes sin look nice, but he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy you. Certain sins are nice for a season. But what you sow from that, or what you reap from that, is not good and brings much pain and suffering. Nehemiah understood God's work must be done God's way. The end doesn't justify the means. Nehemiah understood that he had nothing in common with this worldly crowd, and therefore, there was no basis for cooperation. No basis for cooperation. We need more Christians with spiritual discernment. We need more spiritual discernment. People who will separate from the world, cut the old ties, and realize this great truth that's found in the Old Testament, Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? If they don't agree with this, and that goes for another denomination, another church knocking on my door and picking up the phone and asking me if I can join them. If they don't agree with this, I ain't joining them. The answer is, oh no. Not joining you. And they say, why? Good. I'll join you for 10 minutes over coffee and tell you why. And get out the word of God and explain it to them. All right. Now, next coming up here, not only spiritual discernment, but supreme dedication. Supreme dedication. I hear a phone going off. Somebody want to, I don't think it's the church phone. Okay. Supreme dedication, verse 3. Anytime you leave what God has called you to do, there's always a step down. Always a step down. Everybody needs to understand the difference between good and best. Good and best. Doing good in the community is fine. But making an eternal destiny is better. That's best. Reaching souls for Jesus Christ, seeing them get saved. Many accomplish good in their careers, but that's only temporary. Serving God, getting people saved, building their lives thereafter, that's the best. Yes, we all need jobs, and we need to do our best at that job. That's a good Christian example, to do your best and give your all. That brings glory to God. Nehemiah had supreme dedication to his main task, and he made up his mind he would not be distracted. He would not be distracted. Fellowship is good, but discipleship is better. Next, he had strong determination. Spiritual discernment, supreme dedication, strong determination. Verse 4. They are badgering him. They are persistent. What did we say more than one time in our study? The devil will not give up. He will keep hounding you, and he will keep trying to hinder you and to destroy your testimony. What are they trying to do here? 4, 5, 6 times. They're trying to wear him down. But if it was wrong to go visit them at Oh No the first time, then it's wrong to go visit them at Oh No the 40th time. So he didn't do it. Strong determination. And there's many things the devil uses to wear us down. And that's a very strong tool. Next, the tool of slander. The tool of slander. Verses 5 and 6. Now, get this picture. You don't maybe necessarily get it from the way it's worded here. But an open letter in the Bible, especially during these times when Nehemiah lived, an open letter was actually something that was posted publicly, maybe in the square, for people to read for themselves also. It was almost like today, a letter to the editor. My dad used to write to the editor. Sometimes they'd put it in and sometimes they wouldn't. But that's kind of the idea here. Not only did they read it to him, but everybody had a chance to read it. Well, why would they want that? Well, they want other people to say, oh, did you see that? I didn't know that. Did you know that? That's what they wanted to get started. They accused Nehemiah for doing this project not for God, but for his own glory. They completely reversed it and twisted what he was actually doing. The devil still does that today. Slander. Pah, look at them people. Pah, who they think they are? They're in that building every day or every... Not every day. It'd be nice every day, but that's in heaven, okay? But every week, they're going there a couple times a week. What are they doing in there, you know? We had I went to a church for, I attended it for 28 years. I didn't see this, but the pastor shared it with us. He said he's up there preaching, and we could tell something was going on because every now and then he'd get this look on his face. And he was looking in the back of the church, and then he told us after what was going on. Every now and then, a lady's head would pop around the door and look in, and then it would disappear. Now, she did this a couple times. And then finally, she decided to come into the church. And she sat in the back, and preacher, of course, afterwards, he went up and greeted her, and, you know, and asked her, he said, what was that all about? She says, well, I was told, I was told in this church that the women sit on one side and the men sit on the other, and I had to decide which side I was going to sit on. That wasn't the case at all. But she was told, well, that church, the women got to sit one side and the men sit the other side. That wasn't true. And eventually, when she decided to listen to the right people instead of... she eventually joined that church and served for a number of years. Amen? Glory to God. They accused him of being trying to be the king. He's trying to feather his own nest. The devil knows how to use gossip and rumors to destroy people and cause havoc in a church, a local church. When you think about the nature of rumor, what is the nature of rumors? Normally, the source is always anonymous. Did you hear? So-and-so said, so-and-so, who was so-and-so? Oh, I can't divulge that. They don't want me to let them, let anybody know. Well, why are you telling me? Tell me who that was, and we can go to them right now and get to the bottom of it so we can get it straightened out. Oh, that's okay. We'll go to somebody else, they say in their mind, that'll listen to my gossip and rumor. So normally the source is anonymous, or it's attached to the name of a notorious gossip. Verse 6, it is reported among the heathen, right there it is in our passage. Today it sounds this way, People are saying, well, I just heard. That's where it is today. And Geshem saith, I have an idea, Geshem, whatever. I have a feeling he was a notorious gossip. Rumors are almost always an attack on motives. Almost always an attack on motives. Here they attack Nehemiah's motives like they know his heart. I don't know your heart, you don't know my heart. Sometimes we have to sit down and we have to talk, and then we know we're on the same page in the right direction. And lots of times we know each other's heart because we what? Line up with the same book, serve the same God. They're on the same paths where he has led us. Amen? There it is. Nothing hurts quite as badly as doing something with pure motives and being attacked as doing it for the wrong reason. That hurts. Slander is usually an attack on someone trying to accomplish something. Let me tell you this. The only way to avoid slander is don't do anything. Do nothing. Because I guarantee you, when you're moving forward for the Lord, movement makes friction. It's always the case. Be aware of it. You know, I don't want to intentionally ever, listen to this, very important. I never want to intentionally hurt the feelings of anybody. I don't want to do that. And I try hard to avoid that. But if something is not lining up with this, then something's got to be done. So, what did Nehemiah do? First of all, verse 8, that's a simple statement. Deny the report. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Do you remember Jesus when he was here on earth? He didn't open up his mouth. What they said was not true. But whose place was he taking on the cross? Your place and my place. He came here to die. He was buried and then rose again from the grave. And by the way, he is our defender. Of course, when he did defend himself, how did he do it? With truth. Truth. What is truth? Jesus himself and his word. There it is. Don't delve into mudslinging. Just tell the truth. Tell the truth. Maybe that's a better example instead of deny the report. Just tell the truth. Number two, take it to God. Verse 9. God is my defender. And he asked God, Nehemiah, to keep him strong and focused on what's supposed to be done. All that matters is what God knows. God knows. You know, it's becoming a real issue in America and probably other places when you preach the plain truth. That's what we try to do here. Just preach the plain truth. You know why it is in this day and age in America? Because what we say is not politically correct. It's biblically correct because it's truth, and that's the way we're going to keep preaching. Not to appease people, but to please God and have God change the hearts of people so they are biblically correct instead of politically correct. Some things the government and people in America are asking us to accept that I will not accept because it is wrong. It is sin. We are to love people. John 3:16, God set the example, for God so loved what? The world. But there are sins that he despises and he hates. And it should be the same for us. Not the people, but the sin that is dragging them down and taking them on the road to hell. And the only cure for that is to receive Christ as their Savior. And then they'll be biblically correct. There might come a day in America where we might have to go through the same things that they're going through in Afghanistan and other nations of the world. Will you stand? Will you be a Nehemiah and continue in the work that God had called you to? And when they come along and say, "Psst, hey buddy, why don't we get together?" I hope you remember the answer. God made it pretty simple for us, along with Nehemiah. Oh, no. In fact, we have a town not too far from here on Route 22 by that name. Oh, no. I've been there a number of times. I often wish a church would have invited me there that's in Oh, no, and I could have preached this message. Stay true to the Lord, no matter what. Next one, in Nehemiah, just keep on working. That's what he did, verse 15. Just keep working. Keep working. James 4:11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Don't be surprised when slandered. Don't be surprised. The servant is no greater than his master. Who's our master? Jesus Christ. And think about what they said about him. They accused him of being, first of all, illegitimate. He had to live with that. He was a glutton. They accused him of that. He was a drunk who operated under the power of the devil. That's what they accused Jesus of. We are told time and time again, do not be ignorant of the devil's devices. And that's the same in 2021 and beyond. Beware, he is busier than ever. Get on the right side and learn how to stand and have a discerning spirit. And always do what God wants you to do. You cannot fail. Amen? Let's pray. Father,